What's up, guys? Welcome to the Quest of the Future Messiahs, or QFM. Please subscribe to us and also follow us on Instagram. You got your main man, Giphy Messiah, and...
We got Kenny J. What's good? What's good? And we got a special guest in the building. Say your name.
Kingdom Kids 613.
Oh, shoot.
That's what's up. All right, perfect. So let's just get straight to the top, man. Do you hate gay people?
Bro, stop.
Nah, I'm teasing.
Nah, but so I guess, like, you know, what were your origins? Like, where are you from?
I'm from Wendell, North Carolina, so it's like 20 minutes outside of Raleigh.
So, like, I guess, how was that experience for you, like, being born in there?
I mean, it's a small town. There ain't really much going on. You got a high school. You got, You got a Family Dollar, a Food Lion. It's not really much going on. I mean, most of the people know each other.
It's a small area, pretty much.
It's a small area. It's kind of like country. It's a lot of land in different places. You got, like, a little bit of lakes in certain places, so ain't really much over there.
So, like, I guess, you know, with your name, why did you have that name?
Well, it's part of my faith, Kingdom Kid. It used to be just Ray Okafor. That was my name on Instagram. But as I, you know, kept studying in the Bible and just, like, growing in my faith, in order to be Christian, you don't have to have a name like that on Instagram. Like, you don't have to put all that out there. You
just
name with it. But, like, I like the name Kingdom Kid. I think I was reading, I think my pastor back home, his name is Pastor Bell, he was preaching and he said something like, we're kids of the kingdom. And then something just clicked with me. I was like, Kingdom Kid. And then I put the 613 after it because that's Romans 6:13.
It's
one of my favorite Bible verses. Actually, I was going to wear the chain that I had of it, but I didn't bring it, but yeah.
Why was that Bible verse memorable to you? What was the significance?
It talks about living righteously for Christ, just like, living as, like, instruments of righteousness, like going out and living for Christ and representing him well in the world, in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we treat each other, and just, like, loving people well.
Got you. And also, you know, I guess, how does that motivate you? And, you know, I want you to talk about, like, your career and, like, in your passion. So, you know, how does that motivate you to progress in where you're at now? And what do you do now?
So right now, I do video editing and I do filmmaking. But I also started doing photography in January. I bought a camera and I started doing photography. I got into photography because I think for, like, the past few years, people will ask me to take pictures for them with, like, their phone and stuff. And people, I thought they were just gassing me up. They're like, bro, this is nice, bro. This is cold, bro. And I was just like, bro, is it really that nice? And then I started looking at the pictures. I'm like, yo, it's pretty hard. I might be actually, like, good at this. So that's how I started with photography. So in terms of, like, my faith and my content creation, first I was making where did it start? In high school, I was doing imitations of my friends on my Instagram stories. So I had a friend, he stuttered a lot. He talked real fast. He was like, that's how he talked. So I would go on my story. I would just imitate him. And I had another friend, he talked with his eyes half open. And I would just, like, imitate people. And I would put that online. That's when I first started recording myself just, like, being funny. I'm trying to, like, give a whole background. I really got into film and filmmaking because I see life as a movie. And that's part of the reason why in my 613 Cinema account in the bio it says we make movies. Because, like, if I'm walking outside at night, I might look out up into the sky and I just see the clouds, the formation of the clouds, the color of the sky, and I just think this would be a sick opening scene to a movie. Mm. Or if I'm just walking down the street or driving down the street and I see the landscape in the area, I'm like, yo, this would be a hard scene in a movie. I see everything in cinematic. So, how did I get into that? So, when I came to UNCG, I wanted to do acting. I was a drama major, so I was sitting there thinking, like, when I graduate, I'm going to be out here acting. I'm going to be going here, this big place acting and going here. I got out of that, number one, because I don't think, no disrespect, but I don't think they really make much money. Yeah. And I did not want to graduate and be making, like, $30,000 a year.
Yeah.
I would be depressed. Secondly, I didn't really feel like I fit in to that, you know, theater kids and that whole, like, atmosphere. I was like, that's not me. I can't really relate to y'all on a personal level.
Why did you feel like you couldn't connect with them? Like, even though y'all were doing the same thing, why do you feel like the connection wasn't there?
Just, I guess, like, personality-wise, so, like, you know, I am outgoing when I'm around the right people, but, you know, it's like, theater is their personality, and that's not my personality. And
I feel you.
Sometimes they could be, like, I don't know, like, loud and just, like...
Just heavily, like, yeah. I can't explain it, but I was at Sheetz, and they had, like, pink, not pink, but, like, yellow stickers all over their faces or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, that's you, but and, like, it's not...
And, like, I'm like, oh, like, what is that for, you know? And I'm just asking. And he was like, oh, it's for theater. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And he was like, do you think we're weird or something? I'm like, I'm like, no. Like, I just asked. He said, yeah, like, you know, but I feel like, you know, there's no such thing as an objective definition of weird. There's always going to be some type of, like, group that you're going to fit into. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, especially in college, like maybe in high school, yeah. But, like, in college, like, there's always going to be some type of, I guess, group that's going to behave like you in some sort of fashion. So, I guess, in, you know, trying to relate it back to you, what group did you find most comfortable being around in your acting career or in the career that you're pursuing right now?
So, media studies, I really talked to a lot of people that were trying to film or do photography. But really, like, the people I fit in with the most, honestly, are... I just joined a church in King's Cross. It's called King's Cross. It's in Greensboro. Mm. I felt... like, it's good to have people around you that don't think like you. And, you know, I have a friend, Quay. He and I, we talk about... from time to time, we might talk about the Bible. And he'll tell me what he disagrees with, what he don't think is true. And I tell him, you know, I just refute. I think that's healthy dialogue. It strengthens my faith, and it makes me think, like, just how to... Like, if someone disagrees with me, how am I going to, you know, what's my rebuttal? So stuff like that, I appreciate that. I'm glad that he challenges me on stuff because I feel like it just strengthens me. But being around, like, church family, like last night, even with when you're with church family, don't just have to read the Bible and pray all the time. Those things are good. But, like, last night, dude just made pizza. We were just sitting around the table just talking about life. And, you know, we... Our faith is similar. Our mindsets are similar. Sometimes it's just good to be around that, like, be around people that you feel like understand what you're going through in life. So, yeah. But I feel like I never finished talking about how I switched to media.
Yeah,
studies.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, I really enjoyed I was a microphone technician, so I was hooking up microphones to actors on their costumes before they went on stage. And then I was helping operate the soundboard during practices or plays, and I was setting up lights, and I learned to cut up lumber. We were cutting up lumber in class just to make, like, stage design and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I enjoyed doing all that stuff. But, you know, I came here to act. I wasn't even acting. I wasn't doing none of that stuff. And I really looked around. I was like, I really enjoy doing all this other stuff. I enjoy acting, but all this other stuff is, like, fun for me, and I feel like I'm in control. And that's when I emailed my advisor, and I was like, hey, these are my interests. What should I do? She was like, you should try media studies. I got into media. I just never looked back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I guess I can say, like, you know, watching, like, some of your videos and just things that you're doing progressing, I can see, like, the change in, like, the things that you were doing before to, like, the things that you're doing now. Like, you're more into, like, voiceovers versus the skits and everything, you know. And from the times that we've been, like, hanging out and chilling, like, I think a lot of things that come up in your videos are, like, you know, your facial expressions and your jokes and then, like, betweening on, like, the certain characteristics. And I think that one person that really do that the most, like, in the acting industry is, like, Jim Carrey. So, like, with him, he would, whenever he's, like, getting ready for a role or just, like, him becoming a character in general, like, he would actually become that character. It would be his lifestyle. So is that, like, something that you do, like, in order to prepare for, like, I don't know, maybe your voiceovers or just, like, skits in general?
With skits, yeah, I just have an idea. Like, I really draw inspiration from RDC World and Mark, because the way that man acts on camera is the way he acts in real life. And he's just funny and creative. And he, Lenar, and Caleb City were, like, my biggest inspirations when it came to filmmaking. and then just content creation in general.
Did you see how, I guess, like, they had a biopic and had Mark and Bernie Mac? Did you see how they were trying to do something with that?
What was that?
It was, like, on Instagram. It was, like, you know, it, I don't know, but, like, they kind of, like, made that, okay, like, you know, Mark, he really kind of looked like Bernie Mac
a little bit. They were trying to do something with that a little bit, in a way.
Yeah, it was, like, the same thing for DeShay Frost. Like, they were trying to make him the Black Spider-Man, and then, I don't know if you know, Bernard from, like, Lean Squad. With Nyzy Niles in them.
Yeah.
So, like, they were trying to get him to be, like, Static Shock.
Oh.
You know?
Oh, shout, yeah.
So, I guess, like, that was the same thing with Mark, with Bernie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mark, he... His demeanor is kind of like Bernie Mac in a way. Just his facial expressions, I can see that.
The thing that got me a little bit is the two earrings that he has.
Yeah.
Is the earrings that Bernie Mac would wear, I think.
He did, because Bernie Mac did. He have, like...
Kind of like... It was like little round earrings a little bit.
Yeah.
Just little tiny ones, you know, so I think he would be a good representation of him. He might be, you know, reincarnation.
Bernie Mac was low-key smooth for his time. Like, you seen the way he dressed? He had, like, one watch, the earrings, and, like, a nice, like, plaid shirt or something. Like, he was clean for real.
Nah, he was. Rest in peace to him.
Thanks.
And I guess, like, some of the things that, like, you're going throughout media studies and your film and your business, what are some obstacles do you go through?
I feel like my faith, like talking about my faith and not feeling like I'm going to be canceled or not get hired somewhere. Because with a lot of times with Christianity, I find that people are very, like, harsh to it, or they're kind of really dismissive of it when you talk about it. It seems like with other religions, people are more willing to sit down and be tolerant or listen. But you start talking about Jesus or the Bible, and people just get kind of angry out of nowhere.
I can understand that anger, honestly. Yeah.
And also, like, a part of it, I understand, because some people have gone to, they have church hurt. And, you know, people, I ain't gonna lie, because people be in church, and sometimes, you know, you expect these people, they say they're Christian and they love God, so you would expect that
you expect the most.
You expect to reflect in their lifestyle and the way they treat each other, but those be some of the people that hurt you the most, and then that's why they draw away from the church. And then sometimes the pastor just be saying stuff that don't make sense.
Definitely.
And he doesn't speak from the Bible. As unpopular as it is in this culture, to speak from the Bible and stand on biblical principle, you know, that's what you have to do as a pastor and as a Christian as well. I feel like American Christianity and a lot of religion in America is just a joke, because people don't really stand on the principles of the Bible. If you're a Christian,
they stand it when it benefits them.
Yeah, and if you're a Christian, then that means that you submit to the Word of God. Like, you are trying to live your life for Christ. Like, what's in the Bible, the way it's telling you to live, you know. That's what you should be aiming for. But a lot of times, like, people, they're kind of like lukewarm. Like, they'll agree with God on some things and they'll disagree with God on other things. And it doesn't make sense to me, because if you say that God is perfect and he's all knowing and he's all this, and then you disagree with him, I'm like, that don't really make sense. If he knows all this and he's intelligent, he knows what's best for you, but then you're saying you disagree with him, kind of make you look, you know.
I feel like in that type of circumstance, like, I think me and my brother had a little bit of church hurt. I think I had experiences to where I thought these people were really open. But in my experiences, I had people that were very closed-minded in some aspects, you know?
In terms of what?
I don't really want to talk bad about them, because they are good people. I don't want to never talk bad about them. But my experiences, I feel like they wasn't as comforting. And they would, I guess, kind of like make fun of certain people that would do certain things that wasn't, I guess, acceptable maybe.
Okay.
And so I think just like with some of the principles and some people, the reason why some people have that is because I think it just takes away a lot of self-accountability, and it takes away a lot of like autonomy for yourself. You see what I'm saying? Because there's people that always come up to me in their school. I'm eating my nice salad. You know, I'm just eating a nice little salad. And these people came up to me and they're saying, well, without God, you're nothing. It sounds really degrading. You see what I'm saying? Like, it sounds like without this one specific thing, I have no purpose. And it made it seem like this is just how it is. I'm not making fun of anything. Like, they were saying, well, just because of Jesus. So without Jesus, I couldn't be redeemed in certain actions that, you know, I've committed, right? And I'm just like, it takes away that self-accountability and that self-autonomy of, yes, I can do this by myself. Yes, as long as I'm having that discipline, I could do whatever to progress. You get what I'm saying? So it makes it seem like it's kind of like, you know, without this one particular thing, nothing is going to happen. You get what I mean?
Well, I don't know how they approached you or
it made it seem like really, I owed him a favor.
I think, one, the way people... Okay, the gospel is offensive. So the gospel is Jesus died for sinners, and those who repent and believe will be reconciled to him for eternal fellowship.
Yeah.
So basically, you're telling somebody that naturally, you know, they're just not a good person, right? But I don't, you know, when you tell people the gospel, or sometimes if you want to have a conversation like that with somebody, it might be best if you get to know people first. Like, sit down and talk to them and get to know them and get to, like, let them know you care about them. So if you do end up having a conversation like that, they might disagree with everything that you say, but they know that you care about them. So I think that's...
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that's another method that people can come and use when they're speaking about the gospel. But what did they said what about Jesus?
No, it was they were saying, like, without him, I couldn't, like, really redeem myself because of the sins that we commit and stuff like that.
Oh, so you see, like Jehovah Witnesses?
They were Christians, but it was kind of like that. And I'm just like, in my mind, it sounded like say if I was hungry, but I could have went home to get me something, and you buy me food. And I'm like, oh, bet, I take it gracefully because I was hungry, but I could have waited it out, right? And then they come out of nowhere and be like, I owe you a favor. I didn't ask you. You see what I'm saying? I didn't ask you to buy me food. I was hungry, but I didn't ask you to buy me food. So how they kind of portrayed it was, you know, Jesus sacrificed us, so we automatically owe him gratitude.
Sacrificed us?
Or sacrifice for us. No, sorry.
Well, yeah, he did. So
it made it sound like I owed him a favor. You see what
him?
I'm saying?
Like
yeah.
Him?
Yeah.
Okay.
not the Christians, but Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So what I would
Wait,
say
you're
is Christ.
Jesus? Like you're saying, they said that
Jesus died Jesus. For our sins, so we owed him a favor. We owe him. We need to be obedient to him.
Okay, because you were saying that, like, him as a person was like the whoever that went up to you.
Yeah.
Was now that I told you this information.
No, that's what I thought. I'm saying as in like just how they portrayed it. It kind of seemed like I owed Jesus a favor.
So biblically speaking, if we're gonna like talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead. You know more than me.
So Christ did die for our sins because we're born into sin and shaped from iniquity. The fall of man started when. Adam and Eve, you know, they took from the tree of knowledge when God told them not to. And then after that, that's when sin came into the world. So everyone that was born after them was born into sin and shaped in iniquity. So Jesus died for our sins so that we may be like reconciled to the so we'll be able to be in heaven when we die. So we'll be able to have restore relation with God. So from that aspect, I would say. Because I don't know how much you know about Christianity, but I believe that you should be thankful for that he did do that for us. So we could, like, when we die, as much as people don't want to talk about hell and they're Christian, you know, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you're going to stick to what the Bible says, it says that if you don't, you know, the only way to the Father is through the Son. If you don't accept Christ. And you reject him, then that is where you go when you
regardless
die.
If you're a good person or not.
What is a good person?
It depends on what society thinks.
Does it?
I think so.
What is a good person to you?
To me, because yeah. I feel like every, and this is just for me, every definition is becoming more as we grow up, because like when we were younger, right, we had a more objective of who's nice and who's mean, right? We always be like, he's nice, so I'm going to hang around with him more. He's mean, I'm not going to hang around with him, right? So once we start growing up, our views start to change and our definitions start to change of certain words and certain actions. So in my ideal, I don't believe that there's an absolute good and bad, because if there was an absolute good and bad, I think we would have had, we would have been known that by now. You see what I'm saying? Like, for example.
You mean in terms of people or in terms of morals?
I was just about to say that too.
But like both.
Because like you can be a good person like internally, but like your morals and like just the way that you move in life is just like a little bit skewed. Like, for example, have you ever watched Squid Game?
Yeah.
So we had, so the main character, he was like deep down a good person. He wanted everybody to like make sure they got out okay and did
the main character things. Of Squid Games, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And did the good things. But at the same token, he was a terrible dad. He was in tons of debt. He owned a bunch of people of money. And like the way that he went about a life, he just kept messing up. So he might have been a good person, but like I don't think he had like much structure.
Why is it always that we say we're a good person but we can do bad things? Why isn't it that we're bad people but we're capable of doing good things? Why do you think it's always the opposite way?
Like what? Like
instead of saying that we are bad people that can do good things, why is it always that we see ourselves as good people that do bad things? Like, why do we just inherently see ourselves as good? Is it because of the things that we do?
Well, isn't that like, also because we are natural born sinners?
Well,
do you think we're natural born sinners? I don't think so.
That's biblically, yes. I mean, I wouldn't, no disrespect to you, I wouldn't expect y'all to like know that. If you're not in the Bible, or you're not like in church or reading like that, I wouldn't. But in regards to that, I would just say that God knows our hearts. You know, a lot of people say God knows our hearts, but the heart naturally is wicked and deceitful above all things. That's just naturally how we are. I would say, like, if you look at these cities and these places where if you commit crime, ain't really nothing going to happen to you. Like, you look at Chicago, you look at New York, and you look at these places that don't really punish crime. If people know they're not going to get punished for crime, what do they tend to do? They just tend to keep committing crime. And what I would say is, when people see that there's no punishment for a crime, people tend to just do evil. When we're born, we have to be taught certain things. Like, we have to be taught to share, have a good attitude, taught to care about each other. So naturally, it's like we have to be taught to do good. No one has to teach us to do evil because we already know how to do that.
How do we know evil? What is evil if we don't really know? Like, how do you know that we're innately evil?
Do you think that's more of like an environment thing?
Yeah.
Or is it more of like, I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just like, do you think like because of them acting that way, believing that, oh, what they're doing is good because that's what they see around them? Do you think that's just more
nature versus nurture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Hold on. So, No, you're good. So, okay, say that again.
Okay, I'll give you a scenario. So, let's say there are two kids, right?
Yes.
One grew up in a nice, comfortable neighborhood. One grew up in, like, poverty. So they both grew up thinking that what they're doing is okay. So, for example, let's say the guy that grew up in poverty, he had to, like, go steal because so he could provide for his family. Versus the other guy, he thought that, oh, as long as I, like, do the right things and, like, get a job, stay in school, blah, 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 it's going to be the right thing, or make sure I give back in some way. Even though that both of them grew up in different environments, they both believed that they were doing the right thing internally. But in reality, sometimes it might be different depending on where you're at. So do you think that could be a case?
I think, well, I mean, regardless of that, I'm still going to say just based off scripture that we are born that way. But it's understandable if someone can't afford something and they can't eat, you know what I'm saying? If they go out and they take or they steal, it's understandable for them to do that in order for them to survive, but that doesn't mean that it's right. Like, if someone, like, if I ask you a question, like, is it okay for you to steal? Like, if you're,
it depends.
You know, it depends?
It depends.
So if you go in the sheets and you, they're like, you just take an icy out.
But the thing is, if it was, like, I can't just say, like, here's the thing, right? This is what I really fuck with. Have you heard of 5%ers?
I've heard of them, but I don't.
Yeah. So what I like about that is that they have principles to where, like, it's your, like, you have your own, like, it's in your power. You get what I mean?
See,
but
I'm going to let you go.
No, you're good. It's in your power. So it's like, for example, they say you can't eat pork. That's one of their rules. You can't eat pork. But if you like, this is just hypothetical.
My rules?
No, 5%er, 5%er. I'm saying hypothetically, say if you can't eat pork.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, but if you really, really hungry and that's the only thing you see, like, and of course, it's not going to be that. But if it is, do what you got to do. So it's like, with stealing, it's like, of course, ideally, yeah, I wouldn't steal. But there's certain circumstances to where if that's your only way to survive, I would rather do that than to just stick by something that, you know, that is not going to help me in the long run.
But like, if we, because we're talking about like extreme circumstances, like I can't eat. But like, I mean, like just in general.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't eat.
No, I was just making, I'm just making an example.
But I was just saying, like, just like, not even in extreme circumstances, like in normal circumstances. But like, anyway, like if we keep, if what a good person is varies from person to person, and what's good and what's wrong varies from person to person, we're going to end up having a problem. Because, you know, that's, you know, everyone has their different idea, but when you look at scripture and you look at the unchanging law, like this is right and this is wrong, this gives you an idea of how do I say it? It. You start.
He's good. It's what I like about it is concrete.
It has a fine
structure.
There's a fine line.
There is nothing breaking it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just not changing. It's just a fine line. This is this and that is that. And it helps you just see, like, it helps you know how to move in life. Like, this is this, that is that. This is the path you should stay on. So.
Now, I agree with it, though, because I feel like with a lot of different people, is like they are more acceptable of taking accountability. Because it doesn't matter if whatever excuse you did the action, you knew it was going to happen, and that's that.
This society, people do not take accountability. Nah. I mean, you might.
Wait, what?
Hold on. What are we talking about?
I'm saying what you're saying with the biblical terms.
With the Bible, okay.
I'm saying as like they have concrete rules, and regardless of whatever, you did that action. So they're more concerned with more of the action, and that's what makes it more concrete. Right. So at the end of the day, it gives people a lot of self accountability because you committed that action. That's what I was saying to you.
But at the end of the day, we still got to determine what is, though. If I kill somebody because that person killed my best friend, I'm still going to go to jail because it's murder. Just like, you know, I mean, it was a little bit extreme, but like I'm still saying, like,
yeah,
we still got to find out like a structure of like what's right and like what's wrong.
Yeah,
we can all agree that like murder is wrong, regardless of like the motive behind it.
I'm a little bit.
He conditional with it.
I'm a very situational type of person. Like, there cannot be an absolute right and wrong. If I do this, okay, I'm not disrespecting you. If I do this, is that disrespectful?
I don't know what that is. I'm just saying.
If I do this, you're not gonna know what that is.
I'm not gonna take it as disrespect.
No,
it's
but you
weird.
Look right. So, but. If I go up to Thailand, 90% of their population is Buddhist. They believe that your feet is the most disrespectful and unholy part of your body. That is disrespectful. If I do this to you and point at your face, and I'm not yelling, that's because that your face is, of course, is the most closest to the cloud, even though it's really not. But it's close to the cloud, so that's up to the heavens. Because, you know, my head, right, is up there.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, that is disrespectful. In Muay Thai, if you kick somebody in the face in Thailand, that is disrespectful. That's what? Like, you don't have to box five people.
What are you
going
to do to get kicked in the face? What you got to do? What does someone have to do to you for you to have to kick them in the face?
I'm just saying, like, Muay Thai, like, really anything, like, I'm just saying, they view that as really disrespectful. So it's like, how can we have an absolute right and wrong if there's some cultures that believe that this is okay? There's some cultures that believe that this is not okay. So it's like, who really determines on what is really right and wrong? And we could go to biblical, we could do that. But there's some people that live by a whole different biblical belief. So it's like, how can we determine that?
Well, you got to, if we're talking about like Bible was right and wrong, and some people, like that last part you said about some people, I guess you're saying like it might interpret it differently.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you read the Bible, you got to use context. Like in terms of, what were we just talking about? Like you were talking about killing people. Like if like self-defense, like if someone breaks into your house, you're protecting your family and you shoot somebody and they die. I don't think that's a sin. I think you're okay. protecting your family. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, if you're just going out to kill
killing
somebody.
People, yeah.
No,
yeah.
You don't have the right to take someone else's life. Like, yeah, you don't have that right to take it away.
Mm, true.
So, yeah, no. I feel like we were on one topic, but we went to so many different places. I'm trying to zone in on, like, where we at.
Originally, we was talking about,
you were just
talking. You said about getting into heaven.
Yes.
So, I don't know if you was finished about that, but I mean, I'm glad that you did bring that up because you did make a video.
Yeah, yes.
About getting into heaven is like getting into a party.
Yes.
So do you care to like elaborate on that?
Yeah, so getting into heaven is like getting into a party. So if you say you know the host, but the host does not know you, you're not getting in. And a lot of times, like I'll see, a lot of people will be like, God knows me. God know my heart. He know I love him and I'm Christian. And I'm like, but you see, you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. If someone says that they're like, let's say, you know, people claim they're this, this and that, but they're bearing bad fruit. You know, if you say you're a tree that makes apples, but you really out here making oranges or something, then you're not what you say you are. Like your title should have substance. If you call yourself a Christian, that title should have substance in your life. It should, you know what I'm saying? You should be able to be able to tell that person is Christian. But a lot of times people, especially in this culture, they compromise their faith in order to be liked and loved by people. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that. The scripture says, if you deny me in front of people, I will deny you in front of my Father who's in heaven. So, I mean, for better or for worse, like, I remember when we first opened up the podcast, you're like, oh, do you hate gay people? I know it was a joke. But after that video that I made, you know, people made certain assumptions about me. They didn't know me.
I saw that. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, but, you know, even people I knew, they were just saying stuff about me or whatever. What I would say is sometimes, I'm not going to try to get back at them or nothing like that. That's not my job. What I would say is, as a Christian and as a man also, when you stand on your beliefs, people are going to hate you. You know what I'm saying? When you challenge popular opinion, people are gonna attack you, but that's okay. Like that day, I feel like I grew as a man. Like, just people talking about me crazy, saying this, they're gonna do that to me and do that to me, but it just makes you more confident in who you are and your faith, and like just walking it out. And also, there are so many scriptures that encourage you to be strong and courageous, or like God girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Or there's another verse that talks about, it's in Proverbs, the righteous fall 7 times, but they rise again. So, you know, all these scriptures will help you in times of trouble, in times where people are talking about you crazy and stuff like that.
And I think that's great because, like, as we all get older, we start to, like, realize, like, who really has our best interests at heart. Like, when we was in high school, there was, like, a bunch of things that we cared about, but, like, in the real world, like, that stuff doesn't even, like, matter anymore.
True.
Yeah. Like, we was focusing way too much on, like, the little things. But I think that, like, even when we get out of, like, school and just, like, being on your own, you start to realize, like, hey, who's really rocking with you? Who has your best interests at heart? And then, like, the people that, like, they were trying to impress, like, back in school, like, all the popular kids, what are they doing now?
Yeah, hey, that's, yo, that's bad.
That'd be, like, the crazy part, man. Like, they, even the teachers be vouching for these kids, man. Like, the popular ones.
Yeah.
And then they look and it's like, damn, like, they're not. Yeah, go ahead.
You graduate high school, you, like, the kids that are popular, you see where they're at now, it was just like, bro, that tie turned all the way, like, 180 flip. Like, that's crazy.
Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, some people, like, who are popular in, like, school, they, like, they're still doing their thing.
Yeah, they're doing,
But, like, a good majority of people who were, like, you know, really popping back in high school, they peaked. Like, they either, like, I don't know, having kids right now, or they just, like, graduate and they don't really have like anything going from, like, they're in the same position as they were, like, what, we graduated like 3-4 years ago.
Having kids they can't afford, and you know, some people dead, I know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, dang, bro, like, I remember being in class with you and just hanging with you, and now you gone. It's like, whoa, You know, some people locked up that I know, and it's just like, man, like, you just gotta make wise decisions. You know what I'm saying? But I never understood that. Why can't you be young and wise? It's always gotta be young and wise. I mean, old and wise, young and dumb. It's like, why can't you just be young and wise? Because you can avoid a lot of problems in life.
True.
A lot of people tend to play now and then work later. Like, that's a big statement that, like, my job really preaches about. Like, do you want to play now and then suffer the rest of your life? Or do you want to work now and then, like, later on down the years, you can just chill out?
I feel like that's hard, too. I'm pretty situational, because, like, I like to understand both perspectives. I do understand that playing now is, like, the best time and stuff like that, because, like, you could kind of make mistakes and people could kind of, like, let you go. But then there's other times to where it's like you're not going to be able to make those mistakes at an age to where people are not expected for you to make those mistakes. People are going to be like, oh, yeah, you're an adult now, man. You should have learned this a long time ago. But realistically, you probably haven't.
What makes you an adult? Is it your mindset or your physical?
Your mindset. Yeah. Because
I don't know. I mean, I just see it from, like, a legal standpoint. Like, when you turn the age of 18, you... Like,
well, yeah. Kind
of, yeah, but, I mean, there's a lot of immature 40-year-olds and people don't think like kids. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. You know? The one thing I hate is, like, when they say, you're not an adult until you pay bills.
Yeah, no.
I hate that so bad. Because Why? It's like... Because they kind of use that as a control type of thing. Like, you know, they kind of... It kind of takes away you from really, like, improving, because... Just because you pay, there's a lot of people that can pay bills. I'm not saying it's easy, but there's some people that do and still are immature. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, that's why I say mindset, because just because you pay certain bills, to me, I don't consider you an adult. I consider you an adult as in, like, you're being a good role model. You're protecting the community. You're bringing a lot of wisdom to the world. That's why I consider you as an adult, not you paying bills. Just paying bills. And then it's like, now you're given the incentive of, okay, so if I pay my bills, then I can do whatever the fuck I want. Because I'm an adult now, and I pay my bills. Now I have a lot more authority than some other people. And that's something I don't really like neither.
Do you fear anything about becoming an adult, like life after graduation?
I fear that I'm not going to have the same connections as I had before. Or me, like, meeting new people. Because, like, here, this is, like, you know, the best way to really, really make connections.
Yeah.
But once you grow up and stuff, there's no, you can't make no, like, convenience for us to talk. Oh, you in this class, bro? I was in that class. You can't even do that. You see what I'm saying? Like, with a girl, if you're trying to get with a girl, you gotta be like, you can't really say anything. You can't, like, there's a lot more improvising. But if you're talking with a girl, you could be like, oh, yeah, I saw you.
Are you staying in Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, so I stay at
You go to the Barnes and Noble Starbucks? Bro, yeah, I saw it. You see what I'm saying? What you get? I get the pink drink. the pink drink is fire. That's, like, one of my biggest fears.
What about you?
I kind of see what he means about making the connections and everything, because I kind of realized that over the summer break, lot of people were gone, it was just like, dang. I mean, I kind of just only had you and then just like my roommates.
No one was here.
But
what?
I guess maybe like not living up to my full potential, especially like to when at some point like our parents are going to be gone, so we're going to have to like take up the mantle, you know. So we got to make sure that we stand on our own two feet. So I guess that's just like one of the things that I kind of, like, think about, like, from time to time.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think about that, too. Like, just reaching my potential and doing everything that I can with my, like, gifts and my skills. And also, I think in this day and age, I really am kind of cautious in my thoughts about, like, getting married, like, who I'm going to get married to, who I'm going to marry. Because, you know, these relationships and this dating and, like, in this, you know, this society, at least, is just... It doesn't seem like a fruitful situation to be in, like being married. Being married is a beautiful thing, but like, let me not say marriage, but like dating. Like, I think dating right now is very selfish. I feel like people,
for the individual instead of the collective.
Like, women, I feel like, okay, both sides, I feel like sometimes women will use men for money or their resources. And I think men will just use women for sex. And I think that you just damage each other. You damage each other emotionally. And then you got all these toxic relationships. I'm going to say something that might sound a little controversial, but I think a lot of toxic relationships start because two people meet up. They think each other are attractive. They don't know each other at all. But then they just start having sex. But then when I think sex is more than just a physical thing. I think there's a spiritual and emotional aspect to it. So once you start doing that, you don't know the person. Y'all just having sex. But then as you spend more time around, you're like, this person got bad character. This person willing to steal. This person willing to lie. This person willing to use me for stuff. But it's just like, you're going to stay with them because you're enjoying the
one aspect the that sex. You know
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, but it like, in the end, this person is not someone that you should marry or really be with because their character is bad. Mm, but, yeah. You know, then people be in their relationships for so long, and then they get out of that relationship finally. And then, like, they don't know where to go, and then they struggling to find somebody else to date or be with. And they got all this their emotional baggage. Yeah, yeah, so it's just like, yeah.
Me and KJ, we always talk about these situations, man. I swear to God.
Do you think that, like, the physical attraction should, like, come first? Because I think that's one of the things that will keep the person there. Like, let's say they get married, right? Or, like, they meet each other at a young age. They end up getting married. And then, like, later on down the road, they thinking, oh, well, we got, I don't know, one person. Like, let's say that the girl ended up getting the guy of her dreams. Then she just stops working on herself in general. Next thing you know, she ends up becoming unattractive. The man's looking at her and it's just like, I'm stuck in, like, a little relationship, but I don't want to leave her because chances are, like, she could probably take, like, most of my stuff. But I don't know. Do you think that, like, when people get into, like, relationships, they just, like, stop improving because they kind of just, like, got what they want?
It depends on who you with. I feel like a woman, like, if I feel like a good man will make you a better woman and a good woman will make you a better man.
Yeah.
So you need to be with people that are helping you grow. If you get with somebody and you are stagnant, you need to leave. Yeah. Like, that's what
and I would. Doesn't always have to be, like, a bad thing, neither. Like, not seeing as in, like, you know, like, it doesn't always have to be, like, a bad partner for you. Yeah. And, like, it could be really somebody that you may not even connect with. You see what I'm saying? So it's, like, and like you said before, like, attraction, to me, doesn't always have to be physical. It could just be the way that someone moves, or it could be the way how someone is, like, you know, themselves. You know, so it's like, you know, the most attractive girl, like this, I always say your personality is your first and last impression.
Facts.
So it's like they, you know, an ugly girl may pull up. She might talk to you like a salesperson. Yo, what's up? She may ask the right questions. It's like, oh, she knew about my podcast? What? They know everything about you. They interested in shit.
I got a call. Oh, wait, no, I'm going to let you finish.
And then, like, the beautiful girl, you may talk to her. She may look like. And I'm like, yo, nah, you get out of here.
But man, let's, like, call a spade, man. Like, do you really think that, like, you're going to see yourself with that ugly chick for, like, a long-term longevity? She might be a fantastic person to talk to.
It depends.
But, like,
it really I mean, some people may not really care, you know? So it's like I said, and this is where the personality comes in. If you are somebody that gives that man peace, because I value this a lot, and I'm starting to realize it's just meeting, you know, girls and stuff like that. If you cannot give a man peace, they are never going back.
He clapping with
they are never going. Yes. I swear to God.
Yes.
Like, if you cannot be this man's peace, I'm stressing over you all the time. I'm thinking about blocking you all the time. But if you have a person, if you can give them peace, it doesn't always have to be sex. But if you can, like, if it's someone that they can talk to, if it's someone you know that you could cry, they could cry on your shoulder for like 5 seconds and it's good. That's someone that guy is going to keep coming back. You see what I'm saying? He's going to come back more than he will come back for a girl to have sex. You see what I'm saying? So I think that's the most valuable thing that you could really give to somebody is that peace and that comfort. Because a lot of men, we don't really have, like, places of peace. You see what I'm saying?
We don't even have places really to have conversations about our problems. I don't think society really care about our problems. And then when we do have our platforms to, like, speak, it seems like, you know, not all women, but some women come in and be like, y'all shouldn't be talking about this. Y'all
need to stop doing this.
And it's like, look, you women, you guys have your spaces, you know what I'm saying? And men don't really
y'all
say anything
to y'all.
Y'all
can talk about whatever y'all want.
And we got to have our spaces well, we should be able to, we should be free to like discuss our issues and discuss things like that. I was also going to ask you guys, like, what do you think love is? Do you think love is more of an emotion, or it's more of a like a choice, a thing you do?
It's a duty.
So it is duty. And I see, I think that's why people are turned off by marriage, because they feel like, I think they have this idea that marriage and relationships, really marriage is like this Disney fantasy. Like, oh, I'm going to get married and life is going to be peaceful, you know, until I die. But it's like, there's a lot of, like, you serve each other. There's a lot of duty. There's a lot of doing things you may not want to do. There's
a lot of stuff like that. But you're doing it for the collective. Like, you know, you may not do it for yourself, but, like, you're doing it for the betterment. Like, long term, you're helping yourself, because you want to keep this little, you know, marriage or this little relationship flourishing. So it's like, sometimes you may not have to always like do shit for yourself. I'm a big fan of doing shit for the collective. I've never been like a selfish person. Even when I was selfish, I felt mad bad. I always felt bad. Like, what? Like,
no, you just said you never a selfish person. You said when I was selfish.
No. I'm saying like I never was, but I'm saying as in like, you know, there's certain circumstances where I had to be selfish, but in most times I never really was. But then I would feel bad for it. But what I realize is just that, like, when you're doing stuff for the collective and you want to benefit that, there's some things you may not want to do, but it's for the betterment of you guys together. You see what I'm saying? So, but how about you, KJ? Do you think love is like, what do you think love is?
Yeah, that's really a question I've been like, you know, really struggling with. But I mean, not like that. But I'm just saying, like, it just kind of like changes like over time. But I think just love is, you know, just kind of like an unexplained feeling when it comes to certain things. Like, plus, I think like love is kind of asymmetrical. Like, it can be like interpreted in different things. Like, you got family love, you got love for your boys, and then like, I'm assuming you guys are talking about your, you know, like, relationship love.
It's about romantic love.
Romantic love.
No, but love is still a duty, though. Like, regardless on what type of love it is. Like,
it's
like
an it's action still... word, so it has to be duty.
Yeah, like.
Well. And I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think love, so there's a verse I like about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, you know, it doesn't keep record of wrongs. Like, you're forgiving, you know, you're, if you're in a long-term relationship and, you know, part of loving that person well is like forgiving them. You know, I think that is part of love. I forgot why I was going with that, honestly.
I see what you're saying, but like, I think like a lot of people would tend to do things for the sake of like, it will benefit them in the long run.
Even love is selfish. Yeah.
I mean,
but is that love, advantageous situation?
I think it's just more like people would do situations and they would expect like, you know, a good thing will come out of it, but it will never happen. Like, there's a good Bible verse for this. It's Galatians 6:9. And it's like, let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Yeah. So what that basically means is just like, don't become so like fixated on like doing the right thing, expecting that something is gonna come in return. Like, for example, with you know, girls in a situation, like, they might meet a guy and you think that they could like change them, but like at the end of the day, like, you met him at like a certain level or point in his life. A guy's not really gonna change unless he like takes the initiative and do it himself.
I don't think anybody's gonna change unless they choose to change themselves. Yeah. And I think also in relationships, people try to change each other. You can't, it's always, that person has to choose to change. Nothing you do, you know, you can't give somebody, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to give him this or do this, and I'm going to just make him a different person. So, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing you can do to change anybody. They just have to want to do that on their own.
Nah, but, you know, I also feel like with just, like, love, you know, like, it can come from many aspects. Like, you know, relationship aspects, that's, like, the primal one. But also, like, you know, with family and stuff like that, like, there's going to be some times where you're not going to, like, love that person, you see what I'm saying? Or you're not going to feel like loving that person, but you love them regardless, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a lot of disagreements you may have with your siblings or with your mom or even with your friends, you know? So at the end of the day, I feel like it just, as long as you treat it as a duty, regardless, it makes it that obligation to do whatever you can to show them the love that you feel like they need.
I agree with that. Yeah. Bro, you just, bro, big for real, bro. He walked in. I thought he was like,
we got Xavier in the building, Professor X, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He hasn't been here in a minute. Say what's up, what's up?
I turn around like, who this big dude, bro?
I mean, his type.
I thought I was going to just throw hands or something.
That's a bodyguard right there, man.
Yeah,
great. Hey, bro.
Appreciate for coming, man, for real.
How y'all been?
Good, man.
Let me strike, man. You play basketball?
Yeah, he do.
You trash. You can't be tall and trash.
That's true. I hate that so bad. Like, if you're not a good big man, I swear to God, you need to get the fuck off the
court. I hate you, like, dude be like 6'5", can't grab rebounds. I'm like, what's the point of you being on the court?
That man
you
be falling.
You can't do nothing.
That man be falling.
Terrible.
He be on the ground more than on the fucking.
I be, sometimes. Like, there's a basketball court behind the quad. I be over there with some people sometimes just hooping. All right,
gotcha. So what do you think love is?
What do I think love is?
Yeah. Grab the mic.
Honestly, I don't even know. You know what I'm saying?
I thought I should ask another relationship question. Do you think you have to, like, date several people to know what you want in a partner? You think you have to?
You don't necessarily have to, but I do think it should be an option.
An option? You think that should be an avenue to go down?
I don't think it should be the only one, but I think like if you're dating these people, I think it's good to kind of like explore around and stuff like that to know certain triggers. And it's like sometimes you can't really always rely on yourself to really figure out what you want, especially within another person. And so, you know, again, like when you date around and stuff, there's gonna be some things you're gonna be like, "What the? This girl wildin'. I'm not hanging around with her no more."
But why you gotta date them? Why can't you just like get to know them?
Oh,
like before? Because I feel like if you are unnecessarily getting emotionally involved with people, then you know that's gonna take a toll on you. And you know, I feel like you can save yourself a lot of time if you just really get to know people before you start dating them. True. I don't think people do that. I think
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You're good. I think that sometimes people just see each other and they're like, oh, you know, it's mostly a physical attraction. So a lot of times it's lust and they're just like, we're just going to get together. But, you know, they don't really know each other and then they end up wasting each other's time. So yeah. I think that people, I don't think you necessarily have to date around. I think if you know, like if you want somebody with good character or, you know, something like that, there are certain places you probably should not go to find women. You know, and there's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you talking about, I want a Christian girl. Why are you in a strip club trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you on?
Dang,
like,
man.
So,
shout out to Kanye West.
Yeah. Kanye, yeah. We talk about Kanye later. Got to pray for Kanye, man. You know
shout
what
out to Kanye West.
Shout out to Kanye.
Please come here, please. Come
on. Yeah, that would be dope, man. What would y'all ask him? Slavery is a choice. Like, y'all gonna talk about that?
I mean, we could talk about it. I mean, you know,
What did you think he meant by that? Like, did you understand what he said when he first said it?
I understood what because like this is the problem, right? You gotta look at the motive on why people say things. You can't like when you're so like black and white about certain situations. That's why I say it depends. It depends because you gotta look at the motive, right? And for me, is like I don't think he meant it in a way as in like. He was trying to degrade black people and stuff like that. I mean, what do you guys think? I don't want to, you know, get canceled.
I think, man, you can't worry about that. I think when people first hear things they don't understand, they just try to like dismiss it or they say it's stupid. But if you, it's also Kanye. So, you know, some of the stuff he's done in the past, people just like, oh, this is who he is.
Rogan's
it's Kanye again, you know. But I think he was saying like, when you, signed to these record labels, these people are known for like slaving you and you're not getting paid much money. So I think he was telling people that you're voluntarily selling yourself to these companies that are going to take all this, they're going to make all this money from you, but you know, they're not really going to benefit you. So you're really just being a slave.
True.
I guess I really think that's what he was saying.
Mm.
But
yeah. He also made another statement when it was, he was at a rally. Where he said like Harriet Tubman didn't actually like free the slaves.
I don't know.
What did you think he meant about that?
That one, like, I think it was like actual literal because like Harriet Tubman technically did not free the slaves. She only just, like, moved them to, like, a better spot. Like, they're still registered as slaves and property, but he just, like, moved them to the north to where they could be free.
Mm. So, I mean, technically, they were still slaves.
They were still enslaved because, like, somebody from
they the was South looking could, for them.
Yeah, somebody was from the South could literally just, like, go up there and just say, like, hey, you're mine.
Yeah, come back here. Due to the scars they would have, you know, yeah. They had to cover that up, yeah.
Have y'all ever heard of convict leasing? You know that is?
That sounds, what is that?
So, after, you know, the Civil War and slaves getting free, you know, there was still, like, some forms of slavery around. So, convict leasing was basically when they would charge you for, like, petty crimes. Like, let's say if you stole something from the store, even if you didn't steal something, like, they probably set you up to say you did something, like, small, some petty crime, and they would, like, send you to a coal mine for, like, 20 years to go work. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still kind of like slavery. Yeah, they would just basically imprison you and make you work for a lot of years. They say, like, oh, yeah, you'll get out after 5 years. They keep you for 20. And a lot of people would die because it's a coal mine. You know what I'm saying? True. All that work you're doing. So I don't think a lot of people know about that. I don't think in school people really talk about, you know, we don't really go in depth about.
They're trying to ignore it more than, like.
Like, it's really watered down, like, especially, like, around that time. Like, but, like, when you actually, like, look back at it, it's, like, it's really, like, traumatizing, like, some crazy things that just, like, went down during slavery. More it's, like, oh, this is what happened. Slavery happened around this time. Abe Lincoln freed the slaves, but they were still, like, da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, you go into the Civil Rights Movement, and you just only know about the main pillars, like, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X.
We don't even talk about Malcolm X, honestly. Huh? We don't talk about Malcolm X like that. In just school, a little bit, but
here's the thing. Here's the question that we need to go back to: is there an absolute right and wrong? We had people that thought that these freaking people were bad due to their skin color. They made a whole system on how this skin color was so bad, tortured us for 400 fucking years, and thought that shit was okay. They thought that shit was okay. They thought that shit was entertaining.
You know what I would say?
You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, if there was this absolute good, wouldn't people know? Like, wouldn't we have that knowledge on?
But doesn't that show that people are naturally, like, evil or prone to evil? For something like that to last that long and people not saying nothing. People just going along with it. Same thing with the Holocaust. Same thing with World War II. All that stuff Hitler was talking about. People were not fighting back. They were just like, because they were scared of getting killed. But still, it's like, you're not going to speak up, you know what I'm saying? Not going to say nothing, and people just going along with it. We're going to kill these Jews? Yep, we're going to kill them. We're going to kill these black people? Yeah, we're going to kill them. Like, y'all, no one really fought back like that. And people just let stuff happen, and they did evil things themselves. So it was like, can you really say, throughout history, you see things like this, and you can, so, I mean, that begs the question, can you really say that humanity is naturally good?
I would say, this is me, like, kind of like in a sociology perspective. I try to look at things very neutral. I feel like there in society is just, I feel like society really gives us, or whoever's leading that society really provides us what's right and wrong.
So Joe Biden gives you what's right and wrong?
They don't give me it because I have my own. But I'm just saying to the masses. I'm saying to the masses, right? So it's like that's how they kind of control the masses to figure out to give us what is right and what is wrong. And they do that by providing laws. They do that by having a lot of different things.
By government?
Yes.
So, okay. I see how society does that, how they try to tell you what's right.
There's a lot of things, wrong. You know, society's doing right now. I don't want to talk about it, but that is changing that up a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Changing that up of what is right and what is wrong. Honestly, sounding right is more trendier than doing wrong.
Well, being politically correct is a very popular thing. It's very fake. It's very disingenuous. Now, I don't like how sometimes it seems like companies and people, you know, they try to force you to be politically correct or force you to support something you don't support just to keep your job. You know what I'm saying? And like stuff like that. That ain't right. You know, I thought, you know, what's ironic to me is free speech costs so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think free speech now is being attacked. And even like the Second Amendment, like they're trying to take our guns away. Like that stuff that happened at Uvalde, Texas. You know what I'm saying? That,
oh, that. The, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was not right, what happened. But at the same time, I don't think that you should take guns away from everybody, because most citizens that you, I mean, I think that they're law abiding. So if they have a gun, they're not just going to, because most people ain't going out just killing each other. You know, you got certain people that are out there doing that. But I think, you know, after that happened, Joe Biden came out. I didn't like, he said something like, the first thing he said was, this is why Republicans need to vote on some bill to, you know, stop letting people have guns. I'm like, why is that the first thing you saying? All these kids got killed. You talk about Republicans. Like, where is your mind at? So
you see where his mind at. He falling off of bikes.
I forgot about that. What is he, 80, 81, 82?
Yo.
No, I think he's like late 70s. He's about to be 80.
About to be 80. How old is Trump?
Like 70
something? Yeah, same age.
70 something.
That's so funny.
I forgot he even did that. I don't even be like looking at that stuff. Like I feel like every week there's something new about Joe Biden coming out. It's like every time you like click on the news, there's always something coming out, or some depressing story. Like, oh, these people got killed, or this person got shot, or somebody got their car stolen, or something like that. And you know, I don't really. Hey man, LeBron or Jordan?
Neither, bro. You know
what you mean? Who better than them?
Steph. You know.
Thank you for the interview, guys. You know, stop.
Ain't no way, bro. Why Steph?
He's just a shooter, bro.
He's just a shooter.
Yeah.
Do you play defense?
Of course.
On who?
We can play one. I'm saying,
hold on. I was saying, I was talking about Steph, but I wasn't talking about me. I feel like I could lock you up.
Oh, shoot.
You know, I got a friend named Shaka. You know who Shaka is? Mm-hmm. You don't know Shaka. How tall are you? 6'2"? 6'3"? 6'3"?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be whooping on him, so I'm pretty sure I'd probably whoop on you. Probably just drive on you. Hit you with a little hezzy. Little T-Mac hezzy.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm
Ray.
What we trying to go to?
Ray.
11?
Ray.
12?
Ray.
You know. Oh snap! He gonna try to dunk on me. You dunk on me, bro, I'm gonna have to walk off the court. That's disrespectful.
Quayshawn got the films, man.
Quayshawn, nah, bro. I ain't gonna talk about that, bro. I'm too strong for that, bro. I work out too much to be shooting the basketball, bro. Like, ain't gonna lie.
What you be repping on bench?
Rep on bench. Mm-hmm. Bro, I be hit like 500.
I was like, really?
Nah, no, bro.
Damn.
I'm no. Last time I benched, I really just be doing push-ups now. But last time I benched was probably like 200. Something.
He's a 200.
Like low 200. Ain't nothing crazy. Ain't nothing. Nah.
Yeah.
What you bench?
I ain't maxing a minute, but I do like 225 for five. Okay. Yeah, 5 sets of 5.
Which? How you work out? Like, what do you? Do you have a routine?
Nah, I just go in there. And just work out. You know what I'm saying?
It's like an everyday thing.
Nah, but you got? Do you have any last responses before we log off?
I don't think I have anything else to say. I appreciate y'all having me on.
No problem, man. Thank you for coming, man.
Where can they find you, man?
Yeah, where they came from? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, y'all find me right here. Look out here, 613 Cinema. I do photography. I do video editing. Y'all come support the business. You click the link in my bio. You book a photo shoot with me. I'm nice like that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, let's do it.
Once again, thank you so much, guys, for listening to QFM Podcast, Quest of the Future Messiahs. Please follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. If you want to chill instead of listening and watching our videos, please go on fucking Spotify and Apple Music. Thank you so much.
We out, you.
Yes, sir.